Well, how are you this morning?
Fine, sir.
Good, good. Sir, could you please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Frank Islam, 1142-16.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I am going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line next to him is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your hearing lead this morning, okay?
Yes, sir.
So you have been certified to come before this board for a absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you are currently serving a life sentence for first-degree murder. You became parole eligible on May 27th of 2019 is when you became parole eligible. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
According to the age report that we have, so you're just serving this term for first-degree murder, as we discussed. You are approximately 47 years old at this time, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Looks like, sir, that according to Ames, you have one discipline for theft or possession that was a minor in 2018. And, what was that about, sir?
Well, I was trying to get out of the kitchen. I never had a kitchen job at the time. And at the time, during the way, you had me there for 6 months to work, and I was way over a year that I've been trying to get out of the kitchen. So I asked, how can I get out of this position? And they said, well, either put it for a different job, which I did, or get a ticket, get out. So I got a small minor so I can get out.
So what did you do to get the minor?
I put a little bit of coffee in my cup, and I walked out. I kept on working, but when they saw it on camera, and they said I was stealing, I'm like, okay. Then that's when I got out of that job.
So did you get another job?
Yes, sir.
So where do you work at now?
I'm a paint cruiser.
So this is your first parole hearing, is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I see that you have taken some classes since you've been incarcerated. It looks like one of the last classes, it looked like a tolerance classes that you took in 2018, in March of 18, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And did you obtain your GED since you've been there, sir?
No, sir. I have a learning disability on that.
Okay, but you have been making efforts to obtain the GED. It looks like a couple of GED classes that you took.
Yes, I tried, sir.
All right. So, sir, prior to this current sentence that you're on in there for the homicide, I do see that you did have prior to that you had been on probation for possession of dangerous drugs and methamphetamine, is that right?
In the streets or in prison?
On the streets.
No, I never got caught with drugs or dangerous possession in the streets. Last thing I remember going to the county when I was a little kid, I stole a pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Mr. Estrada, why don't you tell us a little bit about the incident that occurred on the homicide and what was going through your mind and what was going on in your life at that time, sir?
Well, first off, like I said, I beat my earnest a million times. I had a rough childhood, but to survive in the streets, you had to do stupid things. I had a lot of good jobs, I had some I didn't. I was trying to make a positive life out there. I was trying to do something for my family and my loved ones. I just run into the wrong crowd, met the wrong people, and before I knew it, I was doing stupid things that I regret now. I was young and stupid then. The crime I'm here for now, I got involved with certain people who wanted me to do different things. And at the time, my family was threatened. I had to do different things to protect my family, my loved ones, my mom, everybody. And the crime at this time this happened, I went to this normal male's house. I didn't know her at the time. I didn't know what was going on. I went there to warn her that someone wanted to do bodily harm to her, and I didn't want nothing to happen to this woman. And I was threatened over the years to be, you know, I'm going to go do this and do that, that we're going to hurt your family. So I went over to the lady's house to warn her. And before I knew it, things got out of hand. I told her, ma'am, I'm here to let you know someone's trying to hurt you. And I'm sorry, I just want to talk to you. Before I know it, I had a gun, of course, to protect myself. But before I know it, just things went out of hand. So as I turned my head, the gun went off, and the lady was on the couch. Ever since that incident, it just, that crime happened, I felt pain. I feel pain for the family, I feel pain for their kids, their loved ones, and I feel bad that her kids will never have good times or the years they missed for their mom. And there's no way I can bring that back, or what I do or say can bring her back. All I can do is apologize and pray for their forgiveness. And I know I'm present for doing a selfish act. I deserve what I got. I'm not making excuse for my crime. But I did was wrong, and I said that. It just kills me to say that this lady, children would never have her mom in her life. And it hurts me for saying this. It just I feel so bad. I don't know how to explain or put it in words how I can have that ask for their loved ones to forgive me. I don't believe that they don't.
So when you say things got out of hand, so what do you mean things got out of hand? What?
Yeah, I went there to intentionally talk to this lady, Norma Mills. And when I was talking to her, in the background I heard a door shut or some kind of noise. As soon as I turned my head and look, Norma Mills grabbed the gun. And when they pulled it, the gun fired. It went off.
Okay.
So every time I turned around and looked, she was already shot and fell back on the couch.
Okay. So if you were just going to tell her that someone wanted to harm her, why did you have a gun? I know you said it was for your protection, but why would you have the gun out exhibited at that time? Why would you have the gun out pointed in the direction of her?
I don't know, it was stupidity, being afraid. It just, first reaction is to have them protect yourself, and I had it up. I didn't mean to pull it out and point the gun at her. It just, for some reason, it's all in the streets, it's totally different in a different time. And the first reaction is toxic. I wasn't trying to scare anyone, but I understand she was scared, she was frightened, and like I said, I was nervous, afraid. I was scared for my life too.
Okay.
At the same time, I wasn't trying to bring harm to this woman, to Norma Mills. And it just nothing was going. Everything just went bad. I did regret for what I did. I there's no way I could bring her back. And like I said, everything just went too fast. It just, before I knew it, all this stuff happened, and I was like, oh man, it just, like I said, I don't know how to put it in words, how, when I was there, the feeling, the actions, what I did, it's like, it's stupid, all this shit was stupid, I should have never think I should have been there in the first place.
Okay, so.
With a caution.
So, I don't see, you don't have any support letters or family. You have family here, sir, in Arizona?
Yes, I have a sister, sir.
Okay, what?
And I have a halfway house.
Okay, so what's the halfway house that you want to go to? What's your plan of, you know, not saying that that's what's going to happen, but what would be your release plan, sir, if you happen to get paroled on home arrest?
Well, my release is to, my plan is to get a job, try to pick up all the pieces and program and do what I can do to survive out there and to earn people's trust and out to the community where I'm disappointed. To my amends, hopefully, you know, which I know I'm not allowed to contact, is going to be his family and try to ask for forgiveness or what can I do to for him to forgive me. And I know that would never happen because if I was in another place, I would. All I'm trying to do is just to have a fresh start, get a life out there, to do something for the community, for me, loved ones, family, their family.
Okay.
I know I'm not going to make this first throw. I know I'm just speaking my mind out.
Well, sir, this is an opportunity for us to have the chance to get to know you. And talk to you a little bit and see where you're at, where your head is, and the direction that you're going. So, Mr. Estrella, I want to see if the board has any additional questions for you. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Estrella, do you stay in touch with your family?
Just my sister I talk to right now.
Just your sister? And what other family do you have that you would talk to?
I should talk to my mom was alive. I talked to her a lot. I talked to cousins and aunts. And during the years and process, they just, like, for some reason, they just forgot about me. They just left, you know. And my sister's the only one who's been there for me. And she's taken in.
And when's the last time you talked to her?
I try to talk to her almost every week.
Okay.
To get all over.
Okay.
I try to talk to her.
So you do stay in touch with her then?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. All right, so I see that no additional questions coming from the board. We do have some victim witnesses that are here that want to speak to the board at this time, so we're going to go to them and get that information too.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, board members. My name is Alejandro Palacios, victim advocate with the Department of Corrections, Office of Victim Services. I have two letters written by family members of the deceased victim.
Okay.
To whom may be concerned, I, Irma Hernandez, am the sister of Norma Mills. I believe that Frank Estrella shouldn't be let out into society due to the fact that he murdered a wonderful person who was a mother of three children. These three children have been through a lot and something that no child or any person should have experienced in their life. The oldest child, who was 10 years old when his mother was murdered, has been in prison for 8.5 years and has a lot of anger issues. The middle child, who was 8 years old when her mother was murdered, has a lot of anxiety and PTSD. It's hard for her to feel safe in her own home and still suffers until this day. The youngest child, who was 5 years old when his mother was murdered, has been in and out of prison for drug possession. He has struggled his whole teenage years in adulthood with substance abuse. The lives of Norma's children would have been different if they had their mother, who was a huge support and nurturer for them. Frank could have went to the police instead of being coerced into taking an innocent life and destroying his own life as well as his family. He could have prevented detrimental lives that everyone have endured. I don't think he deserves to be let out because he can make the same mistake in taking a life instead of going to the police. It's not fair. He can go on and live his life. If he's let out, he can still have kids and watch them grow. My sister missed her children and grandkids growing up. She will never get to see her grandkids enjoy holidays and birthdays with them and kiss them. I hope you feel the same way. I thank you for taking the time to read my letter, and I hope you make the decision for Frank Estrella to continue being institutionalized for good. Sincerely, Irma Hernandez. Dear honorable members of the parole board, my name is Fernando Hernandez. I am writing to respectfully request that you deny parole for Frank Estrella. He's currently serving 25 years to life for murder of Norma Mills. Estrella murdered my sister, Norma Mills, in front of her children. What kind of person can do something so horrific? He should not be given the opportunity to be free. Estrella chose his path. He had a choice to make, a choice that was not given to my sister. Estrella did not know my sister, and for him to go into my sister's house, move her son out of the way, and kill her should not be allowed to be out free in this world, so he can do the same thing to someone else. He not only took her life, he took my niece and nephew's mother away from them, and they have been struggling ever since. No love in the world can replace the love that you get from your mother. I feel that Estrella does not have the capability to make the right decisions when given a difficult situation. He could not make a simple decision, a humane decision, when it came to killing my sister. He is a threat to society. Sincerely, Fernando Hernandez.
All right, thank you, sir. The board have any questions? Okay.
Thank you.
So?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, my name is Rick Humblesby. I'm in the county attorney's office, and I was the trial prosecutor on Mr. Estrella's case, and as well as the co-defendant who the board is going to hear next week, Alex Mills. And I bring that up only because to understand what it was that Mr. Estrella did, you have to understand that Alex Mills hired Frank Estrella to kill his estranged wife. Mr. Estrella had been selling drugs for Alex Mills, and according to his own statement to the police, Mr. Estrella's statement to the police, he lost $10,000 worth of drugs that Mr. Mills had funded him for sale. Because of the loss of those drugs, Mr. Alex Mills told Frank Estrella that he was going to do something else for him, and that was that he was going to take care of the problem that Mr. Mills was having with his estranged wife, Norma. I think that there is some truth to Mr. Estrella's statement about that he was waffling on this to some extent. He'd never met Norma Mills. He didn't know Norma Mills. And it may even be true, I don't know, but it may be true that Mr. Estrella was concerned for his family, because Alex Mills had reportedly threatened Mr. Estrella's family should Mr. Estrella not complete the murder. Nonetheless, Mr. Estrella did make the choice on the night that he killed Norman Mills. Alex Mills provided Mr. Estrella with the weapon to use, told him to dress in dark clothing, told him how to gain access into the house, and he did all that. Whether or not he had second thoughts once he entered the house, I don't know. Again, that may be true. Mr. Estrella may be telling the truth that he had second thoughts about it. But what he did was ultimately decide that he was going to carry out the murder. The last letter that you heard from one of Norma's relatives about moving the child aside, the evidence of trial showed that Norma was holding the 5-year-old in her arms when Mr. Estrella confronted her. And Mr. Johnson, you're right, in terms of if all he was there to do was to tell Norma Mills that she was in danger from her husband, there was no need for him to have the gun out. The evidence of trial showed, though, that not only did he have the gun out, but he approached Norma Mills. He reached out, moved the 5-year-old to the side that was in Norma's hands, and then put the gun up, and there was a not a contact wound, but a close enough wound that left stippling. Mr. Estrella then left after Norma's children were in the house at the time. He left them all there with Norma dead in the living room. He fled the house. He called Alex Mills to tell him that he had completed the job. Mr. Estrella actually took some jewelry out of the house to show, to prove to Alex Mills that he had completed, that he'd been to the house to complete the job. He then met up with Alex Mills later that night, and Mr. Estrella's $10,000 drug debt was not only erased, but Mr. Alex Mills gave him an additional $4,500 for killing Norma. It was senseless, and this was just a tragic case. Norma was in the process of going through a divorce with Alex Mills. There were all the contentious types of arguments that were going on with respect to that, and Alex Mills simply made the choice that he wanted Norma killed and had Frank Estrella do the dirty work for him. It was senseless. There was no reason for it. Mr. Estrella could have gone to the police at any point in time, reported Alex Mills to the police and told them what was about to happen, and instead he decided to go into the house and kill Norma in front of her children. For those reasons, and I noted that Mr. Estrella has had a lot of disciplinary actions over the years that he's been in prison, I would suggest that he is not a safe risk for police, and once again, I would ask the board to deny the parole.
Okay. Board have any question? Sergeant Lee, thank you. Okay, Mr. Stoll, the board is getting ready to go into discussion as we come up on the conclusion of the hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board before we go into discussion, sir?
No, sir.
Okay, so the board is going to go into discussion. While the board is in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line. I want to remain silent while the board is in discussion, and we will make a determination whether to grant or deny your parole, okay? Yes. So we'll get back to you with that decision. So stay on the line, but remain silent. Okay, we know the information involving Mr. Estrella. He does have some family here in Arizona. He says that everyone else has left, but he's maintained contact and a relationship with his sister. He does not really have a release plan, except for that he has contacted a halfway house. He does have disciplinary infractions since he's been incarcerated, which comes out to almost looking at all almost two pages of discipline that he actually has since he's been incarcerated. This was a violent incident. It was his first time coming here for parole. He has taken some classes, both in 2018 as well as 2017. There are no letters or support that we have for him on file. Based on the information and information that we received here, I do not feel that Mr. Estrella at this time is ready to be released back out on the street or be given home arrest or absolute discharge or regular parole at this time. I would also recommend that be set off for 1 year, being that this incident occurred. It's eligible for a 1 year set off. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. We hear no information coming from the colleagues, and I am going to make a motion to deny absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest for Mr. Frank Estrella, ADC number 114216. And I'm going to also ask for a 1 year set off. That would be my motion.
Second.
A motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal, Dr. Rowe. We did ask for a 1 year set off. Type of parole denied is going to be 412A, 411, home arrest. Reasons for denial is going to be that it was a serious and violent offense, loss of human life. I'm going to mark it as a serious and deviant offense because the children that was there and witnessed this. I'm also going to mark that there was multiple victims, as we've seen in some of the reports, that the children all suffered as a result of this happening to them. I'm also going to mark on the poor institutional behavior. I'm going to mark that reason disciplinary infraction, although it may have been a minor. I'm also going to, he has been doing some programming, so I'm not going to mark a lack of programming, but I'm going to mark poor no release plan and no family or community support. Is there anything else the board would like to see or think that we should add or not add? Okay, Mr. Estrella, so the board is voting to deny your absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest at this time. Did you hear the reasons for the board's denial, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. You will be certified in about a year by the Department of Corrections to come back before this board at that time. Again, sir, thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before the board. If you could put the CO3 back on the line, sir.
Yes, sir.